Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the show. This is Priscilla Leona, and as you know, we are listening to Question Reality, and I usually have my page, my show introduction, right in front of me. However, what has happened is that my computer updated, and right now there's a big Microsoft blocking my page, and I have no idea, because I rewrote my intro to the show, and now I have no idea what to say, because I am the worst at trying to remember what the heck I'm supposed to be talking about. So, I don't know. Microsoft is always doing this. They're always updating, and then you got, like, problems, constant problems. So basically, this is a show. Let me get my assistant to get my copy, who is, of course, now gone for the day. All right. Well, this is Question Reality. We have been on the show for 10 years. Actually, I think 11. It will be 11 on May 5th. Today, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. May 5th, 2008 was when I first started the show. And it is 11 years now. I cannot believe it. 11 years been on the air. This is a show basically to help people who are pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. And we love doing what we do. So many people have been calling in and emailing over the years and telling us how we've motivated them, what inspiration we've been to them. And when I say we, not me specifically, but the panelists, because it's a funny, high entertainment, high energy career advice show. And we have, since 2008, we've been voted the number one internet radio show on Google for the best tips, advice, and resource information from celebrities, award winners. We have Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners. We have celebrities, reality TV stars, actors, singers, songwriters, models, comedians, producers, directors, casting directors, talent agents, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists, playwriters, stunt people. We have celebrity makeup artists, fashion designers, public relation agents, and we even throw entertainment attorneys in there around the end of the year. Oh, and we have film critics, my favorite. So we throw everybody in there. Entertainment career advice from show business professionals. So if you are looking to get advice from for your career, we highly recommend that you look at our archive shows, which are on latalkradio.com. And we have them to the titles first. So if you want to say get a career, be a stunt person, it would be listed stunt person, the name of the person, and then the website address. So it's very, very easy to find out who's going to be on the show. Now, if you want to be on the show, we have the schedule for the whole entire year, but it's on our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And you can put, fill out the contact link, and we will be able to contact you to be on the show. And that's if you want to promote yourself or your products or pretty much anything. As long as you're willing to give our audience sage advice, then we will love to have you on the show. Some of our upcoming guests are, I want you to go to Question Reality Radio Show right now, because you are going to be very, very pleased when you see who's going to be on the show. We did have Dog the Bounty Hunter that was scheduled to be on, but as you know, there's been many problems with his wife. She has cancer, stage 4 cancer. And so we are patiently waiting. I don't have any updated information, but I have been getting a lot of emails about that. But we will let you know when he's available to come on the radio show. It might be next year. It was going to be this year, but I'm thinking maybe next year for sure. So fingers crossed. And of course, we love Beth so much. And our prayers go out to Beth and Dog and his whole entire family. Okay, so let's get on with the show. My goodness, I'm so excited to have this guest on. I met him, as I meet most of my guests. They're either booked by PR agents, or I meet them in person, or talent managers, or talent agents. I never know where I'm going to meet people to come on the show. I just meet them, and there they are. All right, so I have been very excited to have this guest on the show. His name is G. Brian Benson. And don't you love that name? That is like a star name if I've ever heard one. Either a film star or a porn star. They're interchangeable. But G. Brian Benson, let me tell you a little about him. Not only is he gorgeous, as you've clearly seen by us sending out a post on all the social media sites, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything we could put his face all over and plaster, we did. But he is a multiple award-winning, number one best-selling self-improvement and children's book author, life coach, TEDx speaker, actor and filmmaker, and he is a four-time Ironman triathlete. I didn't even know that title existed. I did have a friend back in college who was a triathlete, but there was no four-time Ironman before the triathlete, so I was blown away. I got to find out what that entails, my goodness. And he's a cross-country bicyclist, too. My God, he's so physically fit. I get intimidated talking to people who aren't fluffy. I am what I like to call myself I interchange it back and forth. Fluffy Fab. That's what I title myself. Yes, Fluffy Fab. But he is too fit. He can't join my club. That's it. He's out. He's in the fit club. So Brian, he is such a hard worker, I tell you. I mean, if you read his bio, I mean, this is only a small portion, but you will understand that he really knows the value of hard work and never giving up on his dreams. And this is what he shares in his messages via his books with audiences through his creative expressions, through his books and his TEDx talks as a speaker. And he's also a life coach, as I said. And he's got a new book, which I really need you to buy, because I feel that no matter what career you are pursuing, that this book is really going to help you. So Brian's new book is entitled Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar. Now, who doesn't want to soar? Everybody goes out and gets a drug because they want to soar somewhere. Well, this book, you don't even have to go to jail, right? Or get caught with any crack cocaine while you're soaring. You could just read his book and there you go. You're soaring automatically. Soar City. It is definitely, in my opinion, a must have if you're interested in being your best self, I think. I really do. And that's one of the reasons why this book continues to be an Amazon.com number one bestseller. So I'm telling you, this is the book. Get on Amazon right now, Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar. Now, you can also find out more about Brian. I don't know whether, because it's G. Brian Benson. So I'm going to find out when I talk to him in a minute what he prefers to be called. Like, hey, G, Brian, GBB. We're going to find out. But go to his website, gbrianbenson.com. That's only one of them. gbrianbenson.com. You can also go to gbrianbensonactor.com. He's on Facebook at G. Brian Benson Media, Twitter at G. Brian Benson, Instagram, G. Brian Benson, and YouTube, G. Brian Benson. Now, as I point this out before we talk to him, there is something that he has done, which I, every single show, I try to drill this in to people that are pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. You need to worry about branding. And you need to start with making everything uniform. And this is what an example of what he has done. Do you see how his website is gbrianbenson.com? And his Facebook, G. Brian Benson Media, Twitter, G. Brian Benson, Instagram, G. Brian Benson, YouTube. He is making it so easy for you to go on Google and type his name and find him anywhere. And I say this because I come across so many people that have, okay, so you try to find them on Google and they've got a website, imsocute.com. And, you know, how are you supposed to find that person? And then they have a Facebook that's one name, a Twitter another, an Instagram another, a YouTube another, and they do all this cutesy-wootsy stuff. Well, yeah, great, but not if you are trying to brand yourself as a serious professional person, and you've got to be found on Google or any of the other browser. So please try to brand yourself early and keep it uniform, like G. Brian Benson did. So without further ado, I want to welcome you, G. Brian Benson.
Thank you, Priscilla. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh my God. Oh, was that
How
like too long or what?
You're very kind.
Well, what should we call you, G. Brian?
Well, yeah, what? You know, well, go ahead and call me whatever you want, but Brian is perfect. Brian works just great.
Now, what does the G stand for?
It depends on the day of the week.
Oh, I like that. See, there I go with the porn visions back in my head because you're so hot. I think you're one of the most handsome men I've ever seen. My husband was there when I met you, and I'm like, oh, honey, don't you have to go to the bathroom? He said, no. Like, damn, I can't get a little close and rub my elbow on him. but I really I met you at the LA Talk radio station with your publicist,
yes,
who is so lovely. I love this woman. Anka Charita. Now, what kind of name is that? I love that name. I want to be Anka Charita. Priscilla Leona is so boring next to that name, but she's fantastic. Such high energy. Great, great person for a publicist. So if anyone's looking for a publicist, I would highly recommend her. She is under LDV Media. So check her out. I love her to death. I love her.
Absolutely. Okay. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, have you had many publicists? Because I would imagine in your line of work, it's really hard to find the right publicist. So let's first talk about, we're going to talk about so many things, but let's talk about how you are at the point in your career where you have built your team and how important it is to promote your books and promote all of your projects via a publicist. And I try to encourage people to get to that point where they need a publicist because it is very difficult to try to manage everything yourself.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk
for sure
about that?
Well, yeah, for sure. Especially since I'm working in so many different kind of fields. It gets a little overwhelming for me personally, just because I don't feel like I have the bandwidth to do everything I need to do for acting, for the book marketing, for, the radio interviews and the other stuff, my own creative projects that I'm putting together. So Anka is really the first person. I mean, I've had some people in the past who've helped me garner some book podcast, radio interviews and stuff like that, but Anka is kind of the first person I've worked with, and so it's been fantastic.
And what can you recommend that when you're ready, when you're at your level and you're ready to pick out your team and go with a publicist, what do you recommend that a person looks for to choose the right publicist?
Well, obviously, you want to find someone that you can relate to, and that you know you can be, you know, almost like friends with. You know, someone that, I mean, you don't have to be close buddies, but I mean, you need to be with someone who you like being around, and you want to be with someone who's a hard worker and who has experience and who knows how to reach some of the people and the places and things where you're wanting to head toward. And so, you know, you want to have someone who's experienced, and those are three or four really good things that you want to look for.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, people think a lot of times with agents, actors, they're so excited, and they'll just, if they're not experienced, they'll just sign on with just anyone
right.
who says an agent, just to get an agent, because they're so they think any agent is going to take them to where they want to go, but it's not true. And they fail to ask questions. And anyone aspiring to be anything, an actor, a singer, a dancer, a model, a musician, you have to make a list of questions before you choose a person mm-hmm. to be on your team, because you do not know if they're sharing the same goals. So very, very important. Okay, so let's talk about your new book, Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar. So here's what I love, Brian. I love how you broke down each chapter into a few pages. For example, when I was scanning, the people read differently. I'm sure you know this, but what I do is I was scanning the table of contents. That's what I do first. I scan the table of contents and I noticed that it was three pages, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of chapters. But it also made me curious, because the book isn't the size of, say, War and Peace. So no. I was like, okay, three chapters? Well, how did he do this? So I picked a topic. I just scanned and I said, okay, I want to choose It's Okay to Fail. And I started reading it. And I was so engrossed in what you were saying, and I could relate so much, that I didn't even notice, Brian, that I had read the whole chapter in 2 minutes. You know why? Because it was only two pages. I was like, yes, I love that. And it inspired me, Brian, to want to read more chapters. And I just found that the chapters in your book were so simple, easy to understand. There was a lot of common sense. And I think it was so relatable, because you, I feel, really believe in intuition related motivation. And I thought, who can't relate to that, right? So tell me, I mean, I love this. Okay, so why did you make it so many chapters? And
yeah,
you know, when I mean, I love that it was so many chapters, because it was broken down. But why?
Yeah.
It
just kind of evolved, actually. And when I got my book deal about, let's see, it's been about a year ago is when I signed the contract. And it was actually the book, the proposal that got the okay was a little different than this. It was kind of a little bit more like my very first book, which was on balance and a whole bunch of different ways to stay in life balance. But as I started writing, it started evolving and becoming 100 times better. And so I probably have 20 or 30 things that I left out of the book as well. This is what it ended up being. And I, you know, the chapters are short, but I don't think I wasted a word in there. There's, you know, I really tried to make them inspiring, thought provoking, as well as entertaining. And I include some personal stories, and, you know, so I didn't want to make it a boring self-help book. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, the book itself is a culmination of the last 10 years of my life. I left my family business 10 years ago, really into the unknown, and I had no idea what I was going to do. And so this book is just kind of a culmination of my journey of really just trusting, like you mentioned earlier, following my intuition and continually stepping out of my comfort zone in a lot of different ways, and then just allowing all the different things to fall into place. And I just kept saying yes, and I just kept stepping out of my comfort zones. And before you know it, I started writing books, and I got into acting unexpectedly, and all these, you know, really cool opportunities and synchronistic type occasions happened. And so the book is just a culmination of me really almost being in the observer's role of my own self-growth process and paying attention to my own hero's journey. And I just kind of, you know, paid attention, and then I wrote down what worked for me and why, and you know, specific stories on each particular chapter. And so I really feel, I'm really proud of how it turned out. So, you know, anybody who's wanting to solidify their foundation in any field, I feel will benefit from this book, because there's, you know, just so many different topics that I talk about and so many different things that could potentially help, you know, each person.
Well, let's go back. I tend to be a person, yeah, like I make people tell me stories in chronological order so that I can get a better, yeah, idea of what their backstory, yeah, is. Okay, so let's go back to what you were saying about how you were working in the family business. First of all, tell us what the family business was,
yeah,
how long you stayed in it, and why you went into it, how long you stayed, and what was the cathartic event that made you decide, mm-hmm, to move on?
Well, so it was a golf center up in Salem, Oregon. That's where I'm from. And it was a driving range, a retail golf store, and a 9-hole par 3 course. And I started working there when I was in middle school. I started, you know, I picked the balls up in an old beat up John Deere little riding lawnmower with a cage made out of chicken wire to protect me, and which didn't always work. But, you know, so I worked there a long time, and then I ended up actually ran it by myself for 11 years. And for me, I just started feeling burnt out, and like I was complete there. I'd stopped growing there, and I felt like I had this gift inside of me that wanted to come out, although I did not know what it was at the time, but I knew that I needed to try and release it. And so I had a chat with my dad and told him that, you know, I needed to leave. And, you know, and he, luckily, you know, he was understanding, and, it ended up taking an extra year to actually leave because we decided to sell it. And so we had to go through the process of listing it and looking, you know, going through potential buyers. But that last year, although it was tough because I was just ready to hit the road and see what was next, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because, one day, I've always tried to be the best version of myself. And so one day I was feeling out of balance. And so I just sat down and I thought, you know, why don't I just try to come up with a handful of things that will keep me in balance during this period. And so I came up with a short list, and I would refer to it whenever I was feeling kind of down, and it helped. And my intuition just kind of started screaming, expand the list and write a book. And I've never written anything before, but I did that, and it just kind of poured through me in about a month and a half. And I self-published my first book, and that's kind of what got me on this crazy path in the first place.
Well, so you were I guess what you said, I think I heard, what you said was, yeah, you were feeling stuck. So no matter, so you were doing the family thing because it felt, and this is for everyone that's in this situation. So you may, yeah, be in a situation where you take on the family business or working in the family business, and so you feel that familial obligation, but uh-huh, you uh-huh, also have a yearning and a desire to go and try to do something else. And you may not know what it is you want to do, but like Brian said, he just felt stuck. And when you get to the point where you're feeling stuck, it really is time to go. Because if you don't, and I can't speak for Brian, but from other people, what they've said is that they start feeling an angst. They start feeling a little bit mean-spirited, and they start feeling a little bit bitter and jaded, maybe, because things are happening in, with their friends' lives, and their friends are moving on, and they're like doing exciting things, and you just, it really changes your spiritual level. You can't soar. You're not soaring anywhere. And you just feel like you are not progressing, and it can make you feel depressed, and it can make you feel full of anxiety, and you can even have panic attacks. I've seen my friends have anxiety and panic attacks, and they had no idea why, because their life seemed so peaceful. And I pointed out to them, well, it's too peaceful, and it's making you feel like you're suffocating and you're gonna die, so you're having a panic attack. And they're like, what? That's crazy. I'm like, no, it's not. Go talk to a therapist. Sure enough, I end up being right. All right, so the point, so I guess what we take from what Brian said, if you're feeling stuck, it is time to go. All right, so let's move on to talk a little bit about chapter 6, which is entitled It's Okay to Fail. Page 53 in the book, by the way. I was calling it. I said, so Brian, let's talk about chapter 53. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know about chapter 53. All right, it's page 53. Okay, so this, I picked out two of my favorite chapters from the book. And the first one is It's Okay to Fail. And the reason I chose that is because a lot of people are working hard on a specific goal, and they find themselves, I guess they feel, and I talk to people like this all the time, they feel like they're working so hard on a goal, and they feel like they failed, or they had a major setback, or they haven't made a breakthrough. So I love your opening line, which is, in this chapter in his book called It's Okay to Fail, he says, go fail a few times. I am being totally serious. It will teach you so much. Now, the reason I resonated with that is because I tell everybody this too. And not every, I'm telling you, Brian, not everyone accepts what I'm saying, and I have actually been told that I'm giving counterproductive advice. I was like, what? How could you not see this as logical advice? But, you know, I love that now you say the same thing because I know I'm right now. So can we just briefly discuss this chapter?
Tell
people how they need to go out and fail. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, there's just, I think there's just so much good that can come out of failing. I know that sounds crazy, but I think, you know, I'm speaking for me personally, but I think, you know, we're all similar in a lot of ways, but, you know, I think it helps build character. I think it can make us humble, which isn't a bad thing. A lot of times it will force us to dig deeper and maybe hone something so that it's better. You know, it can teach us a new way to do things.
Right. It'll teach you how to fix the thing that you failed at the first time, hopefully, right?
Well, right. And maybe you're going about something the wrong way too, with the wrong energy or something, or for the wrong reasons. And sometimes if you fail under those circumstances, you'll get a little bit of a wake-up call from that, and it will help you maybe do something on a more solid ground, if that makes sense. I think failing can really kind of also free us up. And I think sometimes if we're afraid to fail, we're holding on a little tightly, and maybe we're trying to be a little too perfect, and you know, that doesn't always necessarily pay off in the long run. So, you know, if you failed a few times, I think it just can kind of free you up just to breathe a little, you know, in a more relaxed way, and just go do something and just let it be what it's supposed to be. I mean, actors are failing all the time. I mean, we're continually being told no while going to auditions. Exactly. And I think initially it's tough, and it can be really hard on us. And especially, you know, if you put all your eggs into one basket, it can be just crushing. But if you can get to a place of just being a little more relaxed about it, and just trusting the process, and just allowing it to be what it's supposed to be, and just almost feel like the win is just being invited to audition, and that'll take some of the pressure off, which in turn might help free you up during the actual audition itself. So,
right, because auditions are terrifying, and
and
when a person doesn't get a role, they take rejection so hard, and you cannot, you got to do the audition and move on. You cannot focus on whether you got the part or not, because it's not anything personal. It's that were or weren't right for the part, you know. That's just
you may have had the best audition too, but you just didn't quite look like the part.
That's
wanted.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's right.
What can you do about that? You can't do anything
that's
about that.
That's right. I mean, people have to understand that being an actor, the first thing, and this is just reality, people, the first thing that they usually, and I'm going to say 98% of the time, because that other 2%, sometimes screenwriters, as we know, have rewritten a role. But if you come in there and you do an audition and a screenwriter or somebody may say, oh my gosh, I didn't see it this way, I want to redo it. It's rare, but it happens. But 98% of the time, it's based on physical appearance. You have to look the way the screenwriter envisioned the character to look, but that's not always set in stone. So you have to, either you're right or you're not right. What are you going to do? You can't just, you know, what is that called? What is that called in sci-fi when you can change your look?
Oh, gosh.
Shapeshifter. You can't be a shapeshifter and just change at the audition.
No.
So fortunately, you are what they're looking for physically first. Second, you have to have the talent. But sometimes you walk in there and you may blow them away in the audition and they're like, well, he's not physically what I want, but you know what? I'll just change it. And they have the power to do that, but just move on. Now, I love what you say in this chapter where you say, for some, the fear of failing keeps them from even starting. And that is so true, especially with actors, singers. I have heard so many people say, oh, I'm not going to get the part anyway. I'm not even going to go to the audition. I'm going to pass. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why, for what kind of advice can you give someone who has that mentality, but the fear of failing, it keeps them from even starting?
I mean, you just have to step into it and just do it. You're right. Maybe that audition, you know, you're not going to get, but you still gain confidence from doing it. And if you go into a really high pressure situation and you survive, then you have that in your back pocket for the next one that you go to. And, you know, I survived that, I'll survive this too. The more you do, the easier it gets. And the more relaxed you will be. And you know, eventually you'll break through. I mean, you know, pretty much anybody that we're watching has, you know, on film or TV has stuck it out. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
They've worked their butts off and they've, you know, committed themselves to failing hundreds of times. And, you know, some just kept paying their dues and paying their dues until something happened. But, you know, you have to love the actual craft of acting as well. I mean, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, it can be very difficult, especially if you're, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you love it, then just go do it no matter what happens.
Right. And this, even if you have, so you go to the audition and even if you have that pessimistic mentality, oh, I'm not going to get it anyway. But you know what? Think about this. You got to look outside the box. And this has happened to me so many times. You go there, you think, I'm not going to get it. And you know what? You may not get it. But think about another reason that you could be going there. Think about the connections that you're going to make with the casting director or the casting associate or somebody in that office who may see you for the next role that comes up. Make yourself memorable in a good way. Be friendly, positive. So think about that. All right, I may not get this role, but I'm going to go there and make an impression so that they call me in for the next audition, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you can't go in there with the negative energy because they're not going to want to call you back. So, I mean, you just either either don't go or you go and just give it your 100%, no matter what.
Exactly.
Because one thing will lead to another.
And you have to think about alternative things that you can do with the situation. You can't be thinking just if I'm going to get this part. You got to be thinking about, did I make a connection with at least one person in the audition or outside in the casting office, or maybe even sitting next to you in the audition room? I can't tell you how many people I've gotten as guests sitting in the audition room, right? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got to tell you, I remember I was, because I'm fluffy fab, I kept my agent, this was back when I was acting, my agent would send me out on these auditions with all these other fluffy fab people. Now, this is an inspirational story, Brian. I'm going to just tell you real quick because it relates to your section. All right, so I would be going out with all these other, you know, fluffy, fabulous people. And so I remember I went out on an audition for a movie. Most of the time you don't even know what you're going on audition for. You just show up, or at least I didn't know where I was going. So I show up and there's all these, you know, big women there, and there's there's one chair left. So I go over and the woman puts her purse on the chair so I can't sit down. I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to snatch your hair out, but I'll just go and stand over here. Well, I didn't know who this man was that was sitting in a chair by himself reading a script. Didn't even pay attention to him. He noticed what happened. He said, oh, let me get you a chair. He got a chair, sat it next to him. The two of us chatted it up. We were talking. He's like, so what's your favorite show? And I was just telling him, he said, what are some of your favorite shows? So I start telling him what my favorite shows are. Had no idea, Brian, that one of those shows was Angel and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because this was way back in the, 2000. And I didn't even know what I was auditioning for, right? So I go into the audition. You are never going to believe who the main person was. Allison Hannigan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow.
Could not believe it. So I'm like, oh, my God, Allison. And I'm the type of person, I don't care who you are. You can be an Oscar winner, Emmy winner. I will talk to you if I feel like it, because if I like you, I'm going to talk. So I go up to her like I've known her for years, because that's just how I am. I start talking to her. Do you believe we talked for like 15 minutes and everybody was trying to start them, but she couldn't stop talking to me because we were talking about a specific role where she got flayed. And do you know, out of all those people that were at that audition, she after I do my audition, she goes, and so I'm like, okay, bye guys, thank you, and I'm walking out. But I didn't even get to the door, Brian, and the guy who I originally was talking to said, oh, Priscilla, can you come here a minute? And I walked over and he's like, you know what, we don't need to see anybody else, we're booking you for the part. I didn't even get out the door. And it turned out it was for a film, and I was in a movie with Allison Hannigan. That's what my point is. You go to the audition, you may not be right for the part, but you know, you may get it anyway, just because you never know who you're talking to. You have to remember that.
So, and just keep a positive attitude.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's talk now about your... Yeah, I mean, but that was just my point of your connecting it to your story, because it's really important that you really remember that you're going in there, but go in with a positive attitude. So that's very, very important. Let's talk about I could talk about so many chapters because I loved your book so much, but I'll just pick one that's relating to more actor related things or audition related stuff. Okay, so let's talk about your chapter 15. And chapter 15 of your book, this is Connect with Others. And what I really love is that you start each of your chapters with the definition of the topic of the chapter. And this one is called, as I said, Connect with Others. And I love your first line. Your first lines are very powerful and impactful, at least to me. And you start this out, and it cannot be more true. You say, quote, in today's fast-paced, instant gratification, supersize me world, and you know I relate to supersize, right, Brian? Supersize me world. I'm always hitting the supersize McDonald's sandwiches. Okay, so supersize me world, where people's lives are broken down and validated into social media likes and tweets, it's very easy to forget to take a long, deep breath and remember what life is really all about. It's about people. It's about people and how much we all really have in common. We all have hopes and dreams. We all have fears. We all go through struggles and mistakes. We all want to be heard and acknowledged. But most importantly, we all want to love and be loved. How powerful is that?
Thank you. I love that.
Oh, you! I think you even teared up just now when I read it. And you wrote the shit.
You know what? I stole that. It's my writing, but I stole it from a short film that I wrote and acted in called Guitar Man.
What? Oh, well, you still wrote it, right? It is you that wrote it, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's me. It was me. Yeah. But I thought it was, I mean, it's very appropriate in the short film as well as it's extremely appropriate for this chapter.
I chose that because so many actors and people in the entertainment industry, it has now become, our social media profiles are kind of like our resumes these days. And it is it is so true though, Brian, right? Because I'm sure you're aware of this. I have a friend that works in distribution for a large film distribution company, and said to me, Priscilla, I said, how do you decide, you know, which films you're going to choose to distribute? And he said, honestly, Priscilla, it comes down to this. When we have films that are relatively the same, meaning, you know, it's a horror film, drama, comedy, same genre, and the actors are all pretty well known, he said, it's going to come down to this. We have a department where people go and look on the actors' social media profiles, and we find the people who have the most follows, the most likes, who are the most popular. And why do we do this? Because we want the film that's going to bring the people to the box office. And those are the people who have followers. And that's the bottom line of how the world works today when we're trying to distribute. Yeah. And that's the same. This is what actors do, actors and dancers and musicians. It has come down to a world where we are full of stress and anxiety if we only get one like, right? And it's sad, but it's true, because we know that people are looking and going, oh my God, they're not going to choose my film to be in the film festival. Oh my God, they're not going to choose my film to distribute it. And you know, when it comes to distribution, that is really what a filmmaker's goal is, and they've got to have it. And it is so sad that it's come down to that.
I totally agree. And in some respects, in some cases, it means we're not getting as good a quality as we could be getting, because some people, you know, the people that are standing out are the master marketers or the loudest, or right. You know what I mean, or the look at me the most, and that doesn't necessarily translate to quality.
I know. It's true. There are so many actors that are so great, but you know what? They're humble. And they don't want to get embarrassed by, you know, having to ask people, hey, can you give me a like?
That's me. I am not much of a, it's hard for me to market myself in some respects. You're exactly right.
And yet it's so important. So what do you do? I recommend personally, this is me, not you, but I, for my advice, is that you hire someone that is going to mm-hmm. do it, which is like a social media manager. Now, it's a catch-22 situation, because if you, first of all, you got to have the money to do this, right? I mean, these things are not cheap. Yeah. To hire a publicist is not cheap. To hire a social media manager is not cheap. But if you don't want to do it yourself, or you can't because it makes you uncomfortable, like Brian, you hire someone to do that, right? Now, so you get a person who's like pumping up the volume. Brian is so pumped up, he's soaring, right? All right, so that's great and everything. And what I want to stress, that a person like Brian who feels like, God, I don't want to do that, when someone meets you who is in a position to elevate your career, it is mm-hmm. going to be great for you, because they're going to know that you, one, had the smarts to hire a social media person to pump up your career and pump up the volume on your career. And then they meet you and you're like Brian, who is nice and humble and down to earth, and like, and they're going to be even more impressed because they said, oh, Brian was smart enough to hire someone to promote his career, and yet he maintains the salt of the earth personality, which I'm looking for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because a lot mm-hmm. of the people are really good at pumping up their profile. And when you meet them, oh my God, it's like Ego City. Welcome to Ego City. They're, you know, they're pompous and arrogant and ego, and they want to talk about me, 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 me. And people are like, okay, you were the one that worked on your social media profiles for sure. And it's not necessarily something they're looking for. So the person like you, who is just everything that someone would want to work with. I mean, you're the type of person who someone would want to work with, rather than a person who talks about themselves all the time. So do you understand my point? What do you think about it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, I agree. It's tough because a lot of those numbers aren't real either, because it's easy to purchase followers on Instagram and the whole, the whole IMDb thing, you know, you can purchase just to get your number up higher and stuff, you know. So
I didn't even know that existed. I just heard out about that from the owner of LA Talk Radio, Sam. He was telling me, because he was looking at my followers, right? And I got like thousands and thousands of followers. And he said, well, you know, did you buy them? I'm like, what do you mean buy them? Well, I didn't understand what that meant. And I said, I've been on the air for 11 years. I mean, that's like a small number compared to what I mean, that's like nothing compared to the numbers that I see for other people who have been on for, you know, a year or 2 years. And so he's the one that had to tell me that people can buy them. I was so ignorant. I didn't even know that existed. I wouldn't even know where to go to do that. But, you know, that is so true now that I just learned that. So what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, obviously I don't subscribe to that. I mean, you know, I want real people, you know, enjoying and liking what I'm doing. And so I try to, I'm maybe a little different. I have to try to, if it's not authentic, it's really hard for me to do.
That's
whatever
true.
It is. And so
I've got to
live with myself.
Yeah. I'm going to ask my friend who works at that distribution company, how do they make that decision? Now that I know that happens, I am going to ask my friend, how do you make a decision based on what film to choose I'm sure they know that this is being done, but I'm going to ask them, how do they choose a film when you see one person who may have 1,000 followers and another one who may have 10,000? I mean, they wouldn't choose anyone with that low, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean? What if they're fake? How do you know? Are you going to choose someone with 1 million followers and they bought them?
Well,
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure
if you can tell or not, but I think sometimes if you notice someone has a lot of followers and you look at one of their posts and you see how many people hit like, and if there's only like 30 people who hit like out of, you know, they have 15,000 followers, and you can, I think, guarantee
now,
that a lot of those are purchased.
That is what I thought. That is logically what I thought. But, you know, sometimes I have stars on my show and I only get one or two likes on Twitter. I'll get a lot on Facebook and tons of emails and stuff. But, you know, like I had a huge star on my show, CeCe Peniston. She was famous in the 80s for, you know, I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
Finally, it's so yeah, she
yeah,
was
yeah.
on. So, and I hardly got any likes on. I'm like, what the hell? I can't believe it. What is that about? And then I have somebody on my show who's not really a well-known person, who's a professional working actor, and they got like, you know, 1,000. So I'm like, So I don't know how that works. It's beyond me, Brian. It really is.
Me too. Me too.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, I cannot believe it is over. Do you know it is time to go home now? Our interview's over. Didn't it go so fast? Everybody fears being on my show for 50 minutes. They're like, what the hell are we going to talk about for 50 minutes? But it was just like 15, right?
Yeah, or even 10
minutes. Well, you know what that means? We got to come back to talk about some more of your chapters. Will you come back on my show?
I'd be happy to. I'd be honored. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So let's promote it one last time. You have to go get Brian's book. It is called Habits for Success: Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar. It's a must-have. Go to Amazon.com. G. Brian Benson. And check out his website, gbrianbenson.com. We got it. We covered almost everything.
Yeah, thank you. You did awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Well, you are a wonderful guest, and I appreciate your time and effort so much for talking with us today. And I wish you so much success on your book. And I got to read some more chapters. I couldn't read all of them because I have like things going on, but I am going to read some more. I'm halfway through it, and we'll talk about some more chapters when you come on. As a matter of fact, I was going to ask if I could read some quotes from your book on my radio show.
I'd be honored. Absolutely.
All right, sure. You heard it, everybody. He can't sue me because he said I could read some chapters. Okay, Brian, say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you, everybody. And Priscilla, you're awesome. I appreciate you, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right, sweet. Maybe next time you can come into the studio when you're in town.
Be my pleasure.
Oh, okay, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.